walls. It concerns a man who every morning was in the habit, first thing in the morning before he did anything else, of taking his Bible and closing his eyes, opening it at random, and putting his finger on the page. He would then open his eyes and read where his finger had landed, regarding this as God's inspirational word to him for the day. On one occasion he went through this process as usual, but was somewhat discomforted when he opened his eyes to realize that his finger had landed on a passage that read, and he went from that place and hanged himself. Feeling that this was insufficiently inspirational, the man closed the Bible, closed his eyes, and repeated the whole process, only to discover that his finger had landed on a passage that read, and go now and do likewise. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's just an apocryphal story. But it's interesting from the point of view that it comments on the ways in which we impose our own suppositions and assumptions on Scripture, and the ways in which we try to utilize and even manipulate Scripture for our own purposes. And sure, opening the Bible at random and putting your finger on a page is possibly one of the less egregious examples of the way that we do this, but the story nonetheless is a reminder and a caution about the ways in which we approach and utilize and respond to Scripture. And in today's two readings from Scripture, we have a similar cautionary tale, although it may not at first glance appear to be the case. But the warning resides in the location of these passages in today, the first Sunday of Advent. These are perennial readings that come up every year at this time. And because they do so, they can give light to some of our assumptions about Scripture and the way that we read Scripture. So, for example, we have today's reading from Jeremiah talking about God's promise to Israel and the fulfillment of that promise. And locating as it is in the first Sunday of Advent, we often approach it, perhaps even unknowingly, along the lines of, oh yes, that's one of the prophets predicting Jesus. And we have this habit as Christians of assuming that when the Hebrew prophets were talking about the fulfillment of God's covenant, they were specifically talking about the person of Jesus. And this is an assumption and a temptation we have to resist at all costs, for two key reasons. The first is that it gives rise to an idea whose technical term is called supersessionism, but which basically means it gives rise to the opportunity that the Hebrew Scriptures are really nothing more than a kind of prologue to the Gospel, and that we can therefore simply ignore the Hebrew Scriptures and just focus on the Gospel or the letters of Paul. And there are indeed churches and denominations and communities where that attitude is very much alive and well. But whereas the biblical scholar N.T. Wright has argued that we cannot read the Gospels apart from
waving a flag or a sham, as though the reverse was true. And again, often unknowingly, this attitude gives rise to a second problem, and certainly has historically in the church, of anti-Semitism. Because if the Hebrew scriptures are really something that can be ignored, and we just focus on the gospel, then we can just treat the Jewish people as though they were a kind of precursor to the Christian community. But if it is the case that the Hebrew prophets were not specifically talking about the person of Jesus, even though in today's passage we get this is another reason why it appears at this time of year, Jeremiah talks about the king who will come from the house of David. What then are they talking about? Well, for a prophet like Jeremiah, we have to locate him in context. Jeremiah lived toward the end of the kingdom of Judah, the southern kingdom, the northern kingdom of Israel already having been destroyed, and he lived to witness the fall of Jerusalem to the Babylonians. A time of terror and despair, when a great deal of the population was shipped off to exile in Babylon. And yet here today, we have a passage that talks about the restoration of Jerusalem at a time when Jerusalem is safe from foreign oppressors, from terror, and from violence. And if we read that passage in the context of today, when Jerusalem remains a divided and contested city, we realize that that promise of safety has not yet arrived. 2,500 years after Jeremiah spoke, the promise has yet to arrive. So what was he talking about? He was talking about the horizon of hope. We lit a candle for hope. And that's what Jeremiah is talking about. He is reminding us again that prophecy in the biblical sense of the word is not about predicting the future. It is about articulating God's promise of hope. And when we read in the gospel that Jesus is the fulfillment of scripture, we need to be very careful that we don't then automatically think, oh yes, so when we read a passage like Jeremiah today, we think that Jeremiah had Jesus in mind. Rather, we understand that Jesus was the fulfillment of God's promise of hope. And it's a hope that exists in the context of our lives. Because we know that everything hasn't been fixed up. We know everything hasn't when Jerusalem had been leveled and the temple destroyed. And it was also a time of disturbance within the Roman Empire, of civil war, of usurpations. And it was a time of calamity and distress and disturbance. A time when people were looking at these events and saying, "Oh, it means this is going to happen and that is going to happen, and then this will follow." People were attempting to predict the future based on the events that were going on around them. And we still do it today. There's a great industry of apocalyptic literature that attempts to bend the language used in the Bible to its own purposes. And there are cult leaders and others of that nature who do the same and gather people around them on the same basis. And it can be tempting for us to do that. But when we do that, we miss the point, we miss the key passage that is in today's reading. When Jesus says, "When you see all these things happening, lift your head up. Do not be afraid." In other words, we have a basis upon which to live in hope. Luke is saying to the community to whom he is writing, yes, all these terrible things are going on around us, but that's not a cause for despair. Yes, it might be a sign that we need to change our ways or change direction or do things differently. In just the same way that issues like climate change tell us that we cannot simply keep going on the way we are going. But Luke, through the gospel and today's passage, is saying, when you see these signs around you, when you see these events happening, don't despair. And don't jump to the conclusions of despair that this and this and this mean this is going to follow, or that is going to happen. Rather, live in hope. The hope that comes not from sticking our head in the sand and ignoring what is happening in the world, but the hope that comes from the knowledge of the faithfulness of God to God's promise. A faithfulness that is embedded in the person of Christ. A faithfulness that in the person of Christ became one of us and lived as one of us, and which in this Holy Spirit dwells with us yet. A faithfulness that says the final word in human existence belongs not to the troubles and the calamities we see happening around us, resides not even in the most terrible consequences of our own stupidity, but in the love of God for all of us. So as we begin this season of Advent, as we begin this season of waiting, let us do so on the same basis that we are called to live our lives as people of faith. afraid. On the basis of hope. Yes, our friends are disturbed. Yes, our friends are difficult. Yes, we are distracted. But that does not mean that we cannot live with hope. Because we have in Christ the very fulfillment of the hope about which the prophets spoke, and the hope that goes forward in time and history, even beyond the scope and context of particular events. So as we gather to worship today, as we gather for this first Sunday of Advent, let us gather as a community of hope, trusting in the love that embraces us all. In the name of the Father,